in the interest of time, we can get started right now.
You can't take any action, so
no,
you can't
prove
the agenda or minutes or anything, so you
can
start discussing stuff, I suppose.
That's informal conversation.
Yeah, informal conversation.
Can I do my brief Salesforce 101?
Yeah, how to do.
And can I also, please, just for the record, clarify the delineation between the business development half of Spark,
right, exactly,
which works with mature companies, and entrepreneur services, which is funded by LBFA to work exclusively with early stage scalable technology companies. So when we first meet a company, they can be at one of many stages. They can either be pre-formation, they can be just at the cusp of formation, or they could have existed for however many years. And we have to assess if they pass the "are they a startup or not" test. So the day that we meet them, we create an opportunity inside of Salesforce. And an opportunity just means we're doing something with them. And whether that progresses or not is yet to be determined. But at that moment in time, when we talk to them, when we first meet them, we create a number that we deem as retained jobs. And retained jobs. And what retained jobs means is it's a snapshot in time. So we meet them, let's say they're two founders. That's two full-time employees per our definition, assuming that they're, you know, dedicating their entire time to the company. They may not be paid. So, you know, let's say 6 months go by and they hire someone. So then they are now at three full-time employees, and we decide we're going to give them a little bit more support.
So how do you get the information that they've hired somebody?
By talking with them.
Just by talk. So
actually, there's a couple venues. We either talk to them in person, or, and we're in the process of this right now, we do an annual survey. And that annual survey asks all of the clients that we've dealt with to please respond to a series of questions that will tell us things such as, have you hired new employees? You know, have you achieved significant milestones? Where are you in terms of revenue? Data that lets us populate and refresh our database. And so the challenge that we have is these numbers are always in motion and always
they're
dynamic.
They're still self-reported because they're...
They're always self-reported. You know, we don't show up at people's offices and count cubicles. We, or count heads, we rely on the data that the companies provide to us. But the challenge that we have in using full-time employees as the metric for early-stage technology companies is anyone that's ever started a company, Eric, you probably appreciate this as the CFO of Amplifinity, you know, it's not always smart to add a lot of headcount to an early stage company. A lot of times it's more advantageous to stay lean in terms of your cash burn. So we also track 1099 contractors, but we can't report that in terms of new jobs added. So a lot of times companies will, I use the hockey stick analogy, you know, we're in the section of the hockey stick where you hit the puck and you have to make the investment in an early stage company there before you start to transition to the stage where they hire employees and see the growth that everyone likes to see rapidly. But in the world of early stage startups, there's a lot of, you know, pain and toil that needs to happen before you get into the handle of the hockey stick.
So then Abraham Gaffney will take the Salesforce data and validate it. How?
They will contact the companies directly in the community and ask them to confirm the numbers that Salesforce is reporting, or that Spark is reporting.
Right, and so I anticipate one or two situations. Either number one, we're accurate, or number two, a company didn't respond to our survey, and so we're underreporting our job numbers. So it'll be an interesting exercise. I wish them all the luck in the world.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a challenging audit, but they've they're talked to other communities about how they approach a similar type of thing. There aren't many, but that do this type of audit, but they are researching it, and that'll be included in the scope.
So do they have an estimate of percentage of kind of return based on their discussions with other communities?
Well, in terms of the number of responses they'll get for each confirm they set up?
Right.
I don't think they...
I'm not hearing that.
No, no.
And then what was the estimate of their cost?
Were
they still...
They don't know yet. They've quoted an hourly rate for their work because they're going to have to kind of determine the scope as they go along through the process.
Can I ask one more question?
Please.
So basically, Abraham and Gaffney are also going to be relying on self-reported data to validate the original self-reported data.
That is correct.
Does a company, assuming even startups have to file tax returns, don't they report number of employees to the IRS?
They do, but Spark would not have access to that information.
And is there a way to get access to that information?
Legally, I don't expect so. I don't expect so. It's a good question, but I don't think that's available.
Right.
I think that
so they don't file, their tax returns wouldn't be publicly available.
Right.
So I think I think the auditor's approach is probably the best, most thorough approach. It'll be really interesting to see that. So since we're meeting this morning, I wanted to bring that up just to let the rest of the board members know that it was a request made at the last meeting and the audit committee's on the case.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Since we don't have a forum, can I ask the question? Have we ever considered having the clients that go through this process put some money into an escrow for reporting so we have a 5-year reporting requirement that if they receive services from Spark, they're supposed to report back to us for a certain period of time. What if we require that they put a few $100 into an escrow with Spark that they get returned to them if they actually do the reporting, but they lose it if they don't?
So I'll call that the stick approach.
Exactly.
And what we're trying to do is come up with various carrots that can help our companies take the time necessary to complete what we consider to be a fairly simple survey. And so that's something that we continually focus on is good response rates. That's an interesting idea, and that would be that could be quite a lever.
It would create probably a higher percentage return on your response rates, I would imagine.
As an entrepreneur who fills these out myself often for different organizations. I can say that a Starbucks gift card is often just enough of an incentive to get me to take the time to fill in a survey or a census or whatever it is.
Do you use carrots like that?
We do. Well, we are looking at implementing that particular carrot with some local vendors.
Can you think of it as a local coffee shop?
Sorry.
It is.
We're way ahead of you on that one, and there's actually some technology that makes it quite efficient. We've often relied on the banner of we've relied on in the documents that we have there. It's written in the document. You will report to us for 5 years, but unfortunately that there, and you know, it's the 80-20 rule. 20% of our clients that we're actually engaged with, they love reporting to us. They talk to us all the time. We know exactly what they're doing, but it's the company that maybe we worked with 3, 4, 5 years ago that has grown and now has larger challenges, and their time is more, or I guess I should say less available, that we see a decrease in response rates.
When are they going to get back to you with a proposal?
I think the next step was they were going to talk to Tom and chat with him.
Yeah, I'm expecting something in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And then have they done this? It sounds like they've talked to other communities that have done it, but
well,
they've talked to
other organizations or researched
okay.
other organizations.
Okay.
I don't think they've actually met with any other communities.
Because there are
researching best practices.
Okay. Because what we've heard from you guys, Rosalind, is that no other LDFA has done this.
Yeah. Well, like, rather than using self-reported data, I don't know how easy it would be or how much it would cost. Just ask for them to verify.
You have to have some sort of one record, right? ADC, whatever. Yeah, I think it'd be difficult to get the companies to participate. Because the companies don't like to share information. I mean, think about it. We all run businesses. Most of us are out here running a company. If an organization came in and wanted to see my payroll records, no way I'm going to give that to you.
No, we never asked that because it's all voidable. But if you had an audit, would you pay for an auditor to go out there on site and just verify numbers using those records? And then it's not self-reported.
I'm not going to give an outside accountant that comes in from an organization my payroll records or information. I'll be happy to sit down and talk to them. I'll give them 10 minutes, and I'll say, yeah, I employ X number of people. What else do you want to know?
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
And you're going to have to take my word for
it. Well, we discussed all that on the calls. And, it's going to be a challenge.
And that's why people don't do it.
So are you suggesting number of companies is a better metric than number of jobs?
Not necessarily the number of companies, although that's very important. It's are those companies still in business 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later? Have they grown in the past 1 or 2 years?
Number of
jobs. Yeah. Do they have sales revenue? Those are the metrics that tell us whether or not that company is growing. You go to any national source, Kauffman Foundation, the SBA, Inc. Magazine, there are a lot of organizations that measure the success of small business in the United States. No matter which one you talk to, the range is going to be somewhere between 50 and 75% of small businesses created today will not be around 5 years from now.
Right.
So there's one point of reference. If the companies we're helping do get to a point where they're generating revenue and they are growing, albeit maybe not as fast as we would like, but they're still growing, they're still hiring people, they're still paying people, and they're still around 5 years from now, that's a huge success. And that's really what we're about. And that's the metric we need to be, I think, we need to be focusing on. The jobs kind of take care of themselves.
Right.
If the businesses are
successful. So.
Yeah.
But that's why we measure follow-on funding, because follow-on funding will come before the jobs.
Raising more outside private equity capital is another important metric to determine whether or not that company is actually growing and moving forward. Absolutely.
So where is all the requirement that we report jobs coming from then? If it's much more reliable to focus on number of companies and their revenue growth.
Can I venture a guess on that? I know that jobs are the metric that people like to point to in the traditional economic development world.
Yeah.
So, you know, point to a large employer and they announce they're going to create so many hundred jobs. In the early stage entrepreneurship, high growth technology venture space, jobs are a square peg in a round hole. There's a lot of work that needs to be done before you can add a significant amount of headcount to a company.
Right.
I mean, would you agree with that, Rosalind?
But that's why we look at companies created, follow-on funding, and jobs created. So you can't look at just one. You have to look at the combination.
Anything like Eric's update? We can just update from the contract committee. Obviously, we're not going to decide anything today or deliberate over it, but we have had a contract committee meeting, and actually I guess everybody here was on that call, so I don't know. I emailed Vince and Karen and Bilal and Ned and let them know that we did meet and review the contract. So then maybe what we should do now is if everybody got Tom's update by email right after the meeting, everybody take a look through that, and then we have a follow-up call maybe. Decide if we have anything further, and then we can circulate it to the whole board.
Sounds good.
Take a look at it.
What contract?
The updated TIPA.
Did you send that last Thursday or last Wednesday?
It was right after.
I sent it out. There were already some comments exchanged via email amongst us.
Talking about the business development plan.
Right.
For future.
Right. For the extension program. The contract committee reviewed the development plan. So if you guys have anything else, should we send them back to you, or how do you guys want to handle that?
I think there's still some, from our perspective, I think there's still some work that needs to be done, and some after that meeting, there was
some whole
follow-on thinking as to ways that maybe we want to add, subtract, modify. So I know we'd like to take another.
Okay.
Edit.
Jerry wants to take another look through it.
Right. And there were some unanswered questions that were still lingering, so I think there needs to be another good, thorough pass through.
Okay. I saw that Jerry sent out those notes on a couple of things that he had researched.
So I circulated that to everybody so they should have that. So maybe we should set another meeting. After you have had a chance, you think, from your team's perspective?
Yeah, we're still on a fast track to get this accomplished, as you are, I know. And so hopefully that'll happen in the next week or two. Certainly before that.
Since we're all here, should we set a date on our calendars now?
Yeah.
Just to have it done. It's good to think you need a couple weeks.
Yeah, with everything else we've got going,
probably the last week of July, so it'll be the first week of August. It'd be easier on me.
Well, it could be the.
Maybe after August 5th.
So July 31st is a Thursday. You're on vacation, Tom, you said?
Yeah, I'm basically out. And around the 5th, 6th.
Make it August.
How about August 6th?
August.
Wednesday.
No, not August 7th.
August 7th.
August 7th is good for me.
What time in August?
I can do it in the morning.
Gonna do 8:15 at our usual location. is that later in the day better for you?
It's better later in the day. It's better for me to go ahead and port call. But I can. This is more important than the port call. I
if they continue up until 4, I can't. I have a hard stop at 4. I've got meetings starting. Then.
Do you want to do? Can everyone do 2 p.m. on the 7th?
Yeah, that's we have a council meeting that night and the day of the council
meeting.
On Thursday?
Yeah, it's shifted from Monday night because the election is Tuesday.
How about Friday the 8th? There will people be recovering from the council meeting.
Friday at 8 a.m. Why not make it
7
a.m.?
You don't have to do it at 1 a.m.
I mean, I'm okay on Thursday. Just
I am.
I may be pinched on
that day. Or maybe. It's just we have.
Thursday's actually a little bit better for you than Friday, you know. Okay.
Let's stick with August 7th at 2.
August 7th?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll send out a meeting invite to everybody.
Okay.
All right, great.
Should we try and take a look at, so we looked at the TIF and development plan, but don't we also have to look at the contract between Amherst and IPSC?
No,
or is that something that?
I don't know that LDFA needs to get into that. Why don't you let me do the once the LDFA make a recommendation on the TIF, then I think let the city maybe take a crack at an agreement, and if they need it, they can come back. Okay.
So Mary, okay. Do you want to give us a brief update on your report, even if it's not an official meeting?
Well, sure. We'll make it quick. The fourth quarter report was included in the packet. It there's nothing significantly out of line when you look at your budget, as always. A couple of points. One, we did spend a little more than the line item allowed for phase three, but that's a good thing. And there was reporting on or underspending on a couple of other line items that more than cover it. When you look at the entire contract for the year, we were almost $90,000 under budget for the fiscal year, which is a good thing. The boot camp, we had boot camp this quarter, our second for the year, 10 attendees. Another successful one. We faced three companies. There were 48, I believe, yep, engagements for more than 20 companies this quarter. The incubators largely occupied on pretty much at our where we want them to be in terms of occupancy. We're around 90% occupied. We have a balance in the microloan fund, so we have enough capital in the microloan fund to make at least four loans currently, and returns we continue to work on, which continue to build up the bank balance. To recirculate. We're going into the third year, by the way, FYI, where the LDFA has not had to contribute to that fund. It's become almost evergreen. Our talent activity, and we'll report on more in more detail at the annual report. The talent activity is strong. Our CEO in residence initiative is very successful. The companies are benefiting. This is one of the things we've talked about for years doing, and now that we've got the capacity to do it, it's proven to be as successful as we had hoped. It's the CEOs, former CEOs, are now interim CEOs of some of our startups and really moving the needle for them. It's very exciting. From our perspective. The annual report is due at the end of August.
The surveys have gone out to all of the companies, so that, again, self-reporting, but we'll be getting start getting those surveys back right away, and we'll accumulate those toward mid-August. We send out reminders, usually two or three reminders for those that haven't filled it out, so we're constantly hounding them to do so and reminding them they've made a five-year commitment. And then we will give you the results with updated sales, capital raise, the whole kind of metrics that we provide in the MEDC. We'll be providing that in the MEDC in our annual report. And as we did last year, we will also give you a few success stories. We'll highlight a few companies that give us the green light to share with you and the public, you know, their successes that they've had the past year, based in part on the services that the LDFA has provided, whether it be boot camp or a loan or a business accelerator grant or their tenancy and the value of being an incubator tenant. We'll give you success stories from our clients relative to what they've achieved this past year and benefited from. So that will be coming at the end of August. We're on schedule.
Right, and I saw there was some back and forth with Adrian.
On the extension, there was both Adrian and, in fact, this is recent, Adrian and Tecumseh communities have agreed to do a joint smart satellite smart zone. So they're pursuing that path. And then so are Brighton and Howell in Livingston County. They're both pursuing the satellite smart zone status. They both know they're kind of in a race as to which one can put everything in place, have a good development plan in place, have their TIF in place, their LDFA created. They're kind of in a race to see which one can, you know, get to us first. We can meet our deadline for September 30th, and we're very confident. They'll both probably cross the finish line. It's a matter of which one will be first.
Do we take the first one, or is there one that's a better fit?
Well, it's obviously we take the one that we thought had a better and stronger development plan. And at this point, I'm not going to say which that may be. They both will be different. I think Adrian's going to have more of an agricultural focus, which they should. Lenawee County, I think, produces more crops in the state of Michigan than any other county. So it's a big farming county, and there's a lot of, and they're on top of all the latest technology, and so it makes sense that the incubator that Adrian College has already established, you know, have a certain focus on startups that have an agricultural bent, but then it goes beyond that as well. And so we like what Adrian's doing. And in Brighton, the relationship with Cleary University, Cleary's totally on board and anxious to get this status. They too have a business incubator already created. They're training their students very much in, to be entrepreneurs and create small businesses and companies. So they've got some exciting stuff happening there as well. But we would, I think we'd coordinate with you certainly to decide if they came across the finish line at the same time and it was a tie, we'd talk to you about and look at their two business development plans and see which one we would get more excited about.
Okay. I think that's all we can do on our agenda. Right, Tom? I mean, we can't elect the officers. We can't appoint committee members or approve minutes. You know, for the next meeting, what I'll do is try and make calls to some of the other members in advance. I sent them emails, but not until yesterday. So I'll try and get in touch with them earlier. I mean, I know you circulated the meeting agenda, I mean the timing in advance, but
year, last, like over 12 months ago, if he had any appointed board members that were having attendance issues and asked me to update him. So I did a little thing at the end of this last fiscal year to see what all our attendance was, and I'll forward that on to him. I think the implication was that he may want to remove a member if they're not attending and replace them with somebody that's more able to attend.
Okay.
But it's really up to him.
Probably appropriate to discuss the next meeting and maybe making a change. The next meeting isn't scheduled until September the 16th.
Oh, okay.
We may want some LDFA board action before then. So you may want to consider removing that. Well, we can create a special meeting or move that. Well, you're right. We don't need it.
We don't need action. Yeah,
we're not going to council again before then, or even soon after then. It will be later.
We're contemplating a work session with council in September, which would be prior to the 16th. If I have to tie it up, it would be around
work session without the TIF or something? Or
about the extension.
Yeah, to review issues around the extension.
Yeah. And if that, if we do that, I think the work session would be scheduled the 8th.
The week before.
Mm-hmm. Which would then have a week to take in that input. Yeah, so your concern about the 16th was?
Well, whether or not the board needed to take some action before, sooner than the 16th. Because that would be the next opportunity for the board to, you know, do the things we couldn't get done today.
Right.
Your officers and approving whatever you.
Those we can table until the next meeting.
Right.
But we already have the extension.
Wait till the 16th.
Yeah, definitely. The extension we've approved and submitted to MEDC, and that, so that's done.
Well, right. The next communication to MEDC will be for September 30th, but the 16th is fine. We can approve the communication to MEDC on the 16th is fine. Then submit it.
So the end of September, we have to have a communication to MEDC about the 15-year extension?
Correct.
So if we were to do a work session, it would be council would be receiving something that this board is not officially recommended yet. I don't know how the group feels about that.
Oh.
Just something to be aware of as we said, because it might be that we do want to meet prior to. It's just
prior to the 8th.
Yeah, prior to the 8th.
Yeah,
I
would suggest that we.
Yeah. So we may want to contemplate one in later August.
Yeah.
But I think we should see how we're progressing.
In terms of submitting the updated TIF plan, I have to look at our notes. I don't remember off the top of my head the date that we have to submit it, though.
The updated TIF plan, that's for the 5-year extension, it's December, isn't it?
Yes, you have time for that.
It's March. The 5-year TIF plan and business plan isn't due until March.
Right. I thought that was the 15th.
Right. On the 5.
Right. And yeah. The 15-year goes all the way to this year. I don't know that we need a work session in September.
Okay.
Just to clarify, the TIF and development plan is not as important as an agreement between the City of Ann Arbor and Flash's Land and your new LDFA that you're actually designating. You want them to become a satellite, because that will then cause, you will give that agreement to me, and then we will amend your designation agreement, okay? The TIF and development plan can come after that, all right? but I'm assuming what you're looking for is a TIF and development plan from your satellites to determine which satellite you're going to work with.
Well, in part goes into our approach, but then to start with the development plan, because that's sort of the big picture, right?
Okay.
Who are we? What are we all about? Make sure we have that sort of as flushed out as possible. Obviously, we have to wait for the satellite to come in and integrate that, and then work our way backwards and make sure that whatever's in place there is reflected accurately in any other documents. Because at our last meeting when we were discussing the extension and the development plan, you know, we were talking about things about the district boundaries, the service areas, things like that, where money could or could not be spent. And obviously that'll get reflected in it.
I applaud that. Just understand, you know, you're up against a deadline of creating satellites.
Right.
Okay. And how we create satellites has nothing necessarily to do with the TIF development plan. It's more the agreement that that satellite fulfills certain requirements. And once you identify the satellite, get the agreement up, and get the agreement with that LDFA satellite, and then I'm assuming you as an LDFA needs to pass a resolution, and then the city passes that resolution with that LDFA, that's what says, okay, now you have a satellite, and now you can. You don't have to worry about the limitations of satellites that are out there. So,
I understand. Does that make sense? I think there was also some reflection on the body that we have to answer to.
I understand.
It was sort of a damned if we're doing that, if we don't, that there was going to be some questions about certain aspects that would probably be contained within the development plan.
That's right.
And, we couldn't do
that. And I just want to make sure that when we approve the executive summary, it's more approving the intent.
Right.
The approval of the satellite comes with the agreement between the LDFA of that satellite and the city. Okay. And that's what you should be making sure that you have.
To achieve the collaboration, we need to have that.
To designate that satellite, we need that.
Okay.
We don't need my approval for your two page executive summary doesn't matter if five other smart zones have gone through that set for you.
Okay.
And the TIF development plan can come later too.
Is the city council approval of the satellite necessary before September 30th?
No, but understand the deadlines aren't as important as the fact that you're competing with 15 other smart zones to create satellites. That's what you should just finalize on. Don't get caught up in the deadlines as much as what you need to do. And there are a number of them.
Yeah, which is why our desire is to get our notice to the MEDC. Don't wait till September 29th to submit it if we don't have to. If we can submit it September 17th, then it's complete.
It's still, but I guess I keep wanting to caution you. Those deadlines are just so that we keep you on track and that we know your intention is, and if we find any issues with it, we want to talk to you. But really, what matters to be in the queue to have that the city approve your satellite LDFA. We then change your designation as having that satellite, and you're done. Then you can go after the TIF and development plan for the satellite, and then you can come to us officially and say we want our 15-year extension.
And with the acceptance of the satellite, that does not in any way impact the boundary of the district.
You have to fulfill the criteria that's a good satellite, but how they really are two separate development plans, which is nice.
The question that I had, though, I'm sorry, Skip, that's right. If on our meeting on the 16th, we approved, for example, Brighton's satellite extension, the board, what if city council decides that at some point it won't have gone to City Council by September 30th. What if City Council decides they're not okay with Brighton because they don't mesh with us or something like that?
No, sir. You have to, what you have to
but,
submit.
But can we submit that the satellite is going to be Brighton to you before we've actually had City Council check off on it?
You can submit it to me, but it won't cause me to change your designation.
But we'll have made the deadlines and all that necessarily.
And you have to basically, it's
we need
council.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We need to get on the agenda for a council before we even know which of the two satellites we're going to select. Because before September 30th, we have to have council buy off, both councils actually buy off on which satellite you're choosing.
What we need is the other communities to set up the LDFA, and then for an agreement between one of those communities and us to be approved by council that we then submit to us.
Right, that has to happen before September 30th.
It doesn't.
That's as soon as we're competing.
Yeah, she's just saying if we can get it done as soon as possible, that helps us.
Because
we're competing with the other 15, because there's only one more extension available. Or is there two?
We can have as many satellites as we want, but only three satellites can capture school texts.
The first three successful applicants.
Well, at this point, it's
one more,
yeah,
right?
The next is successful.
Yeah. At this point, I have not designated one satellite. We have not designated one satellite. We have a number of people moving in the direction.
Yeah, ahead of us.
But there is not.
What about Hilton? I thought Hilton had.
They're still working on it.
Oh, I thought they were done.
No, they're close.
Yeah.
Okay. But to me, it's not designated until it's until it's designated. Yeah. So.
And their councils haven't approved.
They might be in the process of doing that.
Trying to
answer.
Yeah, I met with the woman from Hope. The smart zone that's on the UP.
Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, Maryland's Clark.
I met with her.
It's a joint LD base similar to yours.
Yeah.
And they're looking to have more cabinets or something.
Yeah.
Very close.
I just got the impression when I met with her that she was a little closer. Certainly more closer than we are.
I think they are. But they're not done, but they're closer.
Okay.
So right now there's zero satellites, and as I said, we can have 15, 16 satellites. It's just that only three of them can capture some text. And I apologize if those deadlines kind of took you off.
No, that's all right. I think I understand. So basically, we only needed really like an executive summary for the 15-year thing, kind of like we did the June 30th.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. And
but the problem is if we do that and we get a satellite picked on at our next board meeting, which is the 16th of September, until council actually acts on it, we're still like haven't officially approved, submitted anything. So that's actually... It's more of an internal restriction that we need to place on how quickly we want that to go to council. We may want to get that queued up even before we know who it is. That was kind of
the
direction I was going.
We
want that on the council agenda the soonest meeting we can, probably after our September meeting.
Well, Skip, you guys are targeting no later than the end of September, right, to decide...
We're thinking,
or sooner.
Yeah, our goal time-wise was maybe, to your point, I mean, that's the strategy.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we were thinking an October council.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, too.
Yeah.
So when is the work session again? September
15th? Could we do it sooner?
What?
I think it's the 8th, maybe.
September 8th is the work
earliest
week. Yeah,
September
8th.
Because our first city council meeting is
September
1st.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But it's not Labor Day?
Who knows who else has
I need to check.
Is there anything?
Yeah, I think it's Labor Day, so that's not our city council
meeting. Okay. When you're ready to publish it?
Yeah.
Not possible.
Yeah, because I have a meeting on the 2nd. And so I know the first.
But I would say city council meeting is probably on that Thursday then, right? If Monday's on
Ken, do you remember? If Labor Day is on September 1st, if council's on the Thursday or not? I don't remember either.
Thursday or Tuesday?
Oh, it could be Tuesday.
That's right. It's
Tuesday.
It's
the second. So still maybe the 8th. I just don't
remember. It's probably the 8th because city council meeting is the 2nd.
It is.
And what's the third Monday in the month?
The 15th.
what's that?
15th.
So we would be meeting after the.
Yeah.
So we'll have three meetings right in a row. We'll have the second city council meeting and then the session on LDFA. Is it on LDFA or is it on Olive Park?
What?
The work session on
that. It's too early. We don't have it.
We don't even know. Okay. And then the second city council.
What time meeting would a work session be? So the question is, will we be ready for a work session with City Council?
That's our goal.
Okay.
That's our goal.
So then that way we can be prepared for the October meeting. Okay.
Well, the meeting we just set up with the committee, contract committee, to review the business for the next meeting. I would hope that largely we'd be, after that meeting, a couple of changes we're all comfortable with, it'd be pretty well finished.
Right, but we won't have a full LDFA board meeting.
Right, but at least it'd be finished. You could submit it to the LDFA board to review, and then on the 16th, vote on it. But, and we'd be ready for the council meeting on the 8th.
Well, then I've got to. Well, it's the 8th is the working session. Yeah.
Right.
But then we got to crank on the cities.
Well, we are. Oh, believe me. Luke is all over the
city.
Right.
And then the city needs to work on the city FC agreement versus the satellite city agreement.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
So this could come to council first meeting in October, then, you think?
That would be best case, I think.
That seems more reasonable to me. Best case, probably.
It'd be nice, everything should be in place by then. I mean, that's our goal, is to have everything pretty well in place so the council has a clear understanding of exactly what we're asking, what's proposed, and they can vote.
Probably have some sort of telephone update or something with who should attend that work session.
Right. Yeah, we may have a meeting for that work session.
So maybe at our contract review meeting or our contract committee meeting about the TIF update, we can discuss who should attend that work session.
Well, so